Second Chronicles, chapter number 6. I want to take you to verse number 39 tonight. Chapter number 6, verse number 39. I am either going to have this pulpit raised up, or I'm going to have to go from my super giant print Bible to super duper giant print, or I'm going to have to get shorter. Let me bring this up to eye level. Let's read here tonight together. It says, "Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be intent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant." Let us go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this your precious word. We ask you to bless and work in our hearts this evening. We pray, O God, that you might help us to learn, to gain, but more than that, to apply it to our lives. Oh God, if we be hearers only and not doers of the word, we have deceived ourselves. Let us not walk from here deceived. But, oh God, that we might be enlightened, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. After the building of the temple, we find that there was a time of dedication. And of course, we know that God had used a man by the name of Solomon to rear up that first temple in Jerusalem. It's always been amazing to me that God chose for the site of the building of the temple a threshing floor where the death angel had stopped after the sin of David. And there, as David purchased that particular threshing floor, this huge exposed rock, bedrock if you please, God then had that area built into the temple. And it really shows to me the wondrous grace of God in the midst of our sin. In the previous chapter, we find that after building the temple, the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies. We find that the staves were taken out from it, for now it was in a permanent dwelling place. It was not to be moved anymore. We find that in that chapter, a great choir of singers and instrumentalists brought tremendous praise to God. It almost seems as though, not only in the temple, but throughout the city, there was tremendous celebration as now they are dedicating the temple to the Lord. We find in chapter number 5, if you turn back there with me, and in verse number 14, the last verse in the chapter, notice what happens. It says, "So the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." After the building of this temple, God comes in the presence of a cloud, and it is so dense that the priest cannot even minister within that temple. We find that then Solomon stands to speak upon a platform that was built especially for the occasion. And we find that speech given to us in chapter 6 and the first 11 verses. And so let me take you back there. We'll read them somewhat quickly. It said, "Then said Solomon," chapter 6, verse 1, "The Lord has said that He would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever." And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and have in it put, and in it I have put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. We find that immediately after he speaks, that he goes down upon his knees in the presence of all the peoples. It speaks to us, verse 2 and 12 and 13. And he begins to pray with these hands lifted toward heaven. And in verse 14 it says, he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servant, that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father, which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the earth and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldst put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Let me go back and read verse 20 again. Notice what he asks. That thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken, therefore, unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. What a tremendous prayer we find that Solomon begins to pray at this, what I would describe as a tremendous dedication service. He has brought adoration to the God of heaven. He has said that this house that has been built would not contain God, for He is much greater than all that which has ever been made, for God is the maker of it all. And he petitions God to have a continuous ear of mercy made in this place. And then as we begin in chapter number 6 and verse number 22, and I'll not elaborate greatly, but we find that he mentions some specifics. He says to them that if there are oaths between the brethren, then they need to bring it before God and seek Him. He says in verses 24 and 25, if there are nations that come, and they come as a means of judgment, they need to come to God and ask for His forgiveness. If God brings upon them drought as a judgment, He says they need to come to God that He might give them forgiveness. He says if there is pestilences of various kinds, then that which is brought upon them for judgment, they need to come to God and ask Him to forgive them. He even says in verse 32 and 33 that if there are strangers, in other words, Gentiles who wish to come to Him, they by all means can. Verses 34 and 35, He prays for protection against the enemies. And in all of these, we find that he is seeking for God to answer and to answer marvelously. Even in captivity, he speaks of in verses 36 through 39, that if they will pray in the direction of the temple, God will surely hear and answer. And what we learn from all of this as Solomon prays is that God wondrously blesses and fire comes out of heaven. Notice chapter 7. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. My goodness, what a tremendous scene we have as we behold this dedication time of the temple. Years later, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to the temple. It had been repaired, it had been rebuilt at this particular time. And as he comes to the temple of God, there is something he says. And I want you to hear these words found in Luke chapter 19. He says, "And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them," listen to what he says, "It is written, my house is the house of" what, brethren? "A house of" what? "Prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves." Interesting. We find that Solomon begins with a dedication of great prayer. We find the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes to the temple and finds all that is taking place, that it is an abomination to him, and he rips up all the things that they're doing wrong, and he says, "Listen, it is written that my house is the house of prayer." It was there that they could meet with the very presence of God. It was at this place that God had designated for the people of God to meet with God and to seek Him. Let's fast forward just a little bit from this particular time, and let's think of what the Bible teaches you and I as we are now in what we might call the church age. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, he begins that verse with a question. What? "Know ye not that your body is the" what, brethren? Is the what? Let's get involved, brethren. What is it? Temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. The Lord teaches you and I that in these times, we do not have to go to a building to meet with God, for God has come to meet with us in the building of our body. And we have the wonderful privilege at any time to meet with God in this temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I want us to stop and consider this morning or this evening a couple of things. As we go back to the Old Testament and we see what took place here in chapters 5, 6, and 7, as we look here at this temple that was built in the days of Solomon, that which was patterned, by the way, after the tabernacle in the wilderness, this place that God said He would meet with His people in the Holy of Holies, this place that God said that they were to come for prayer, let's consider what is it that is similar to the body that you and I bear about us. We have now become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I would like to just describe three things tonight in comparison. Number one, as Solomon and the people of Israel stood that day and dedicated that temple to God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body in which you and I dwell, should be dedicated to the Lord. I don't necessarily mean in a dedication service, but I mean truly and completely dedicated. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul in writing to them said this, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present what? Your bodies. What's the body? The temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I have been given a body. If we're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit of God has come to indwell us. We are now considered temples of the Holy Spirit of God. As a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, as a temple of God in the Old Testament, the temple of God in the New ought to be completely dedicated to the Lord. Being a dedicated Christian is not adding Christ to our list of dues. It's not adding Him to our list of priorities. What it means is Christ becomes all in all. It's not a matter that we are just adding Him to our lives. It's a matter that we are giving Him our lives. And it is for His purposes that we are here. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 22, it says, And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Interesting, the Lord talks about the church as His body. The Holy Spirit of God indwells each body as we come together as a body. You and I have this wonderful privilege of the presence of Almighty God. It is, by all means, a daily dying to self that we might live unto Christ. You and I must understand it's not a matter that we just add Christ to the list of things we do. It's a matter that He becomes the central and He shows us the way to go. And we follow His direction. By the way, brethren, it will take all the pressure off of you. It will take away all the stress if you just do it His way. Let Him order it and guide you and to direct you. This body ought to be dedicated to the Lord. Secondly, we find that this house was a house of prayer. It was a temple designed that people might go and find the wondrous mercy of God. Early Christians understood that this meant that they would get together for seasons of prayer. It was in a 10-day prayer meeting that brought about the inauguration of the first church in Jerusalem. It was because of those 120 who met in that upper room and sought out God that the power of God came upon them, and His presence was known amongst them very, very vividly. It was a place, as it talks about in the city of Philippi, where prayer was wont to be made, W-O-N-T. It was needful. It was from that prayer meeting there on the riverbank and through a process of different circumstances that God brought about that church at Philippi. But what do we find today? The average prayer vigil of a church is its least attended. If there's something that you and I ought to realize, and that is this, prayer as a church is a service we ought to be involved in. It's a church service like any other. To skip it is to skip church. to not be in it is to not seek out God and His mercy and what He wants to do in and through us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit of God. We gather together as temples. And as we do so, does it not seem logical that if the temple of the Old Testament was a house of prayer, that you and I, as we gather together, often we ought to be that house of prayer united. It is needful for us to be in this kind of attitude and situation. Perhaps we would see the fire of God and His presence if we seriously took this to heart. Look with me again, verse number 1 of chapter 7. When Solomon had made an end of praying, what happened? The fire came down from heaven. And what else happened? The glory of the Lord filled the house. What is missing today in our churches? This unification of prayer. Not just attending, but praying. Being a part of it. Speaking to God, one with another. Let's just stop preaching for a while. Let's do a little meddling. We gather together to pray. And when we do so, we are so afraid of what somebody will think of our prayer. Because we're not praying to God. We're praying to each other. We're not praying out of a humble spirit, but out of a proud spirit. We gather together for prayer and don't pray because we're not allowing God to show us the real needs that are in our own hearts and the lives of others. But the Holy Spirit of God, He knows those needs. Amen. Matter of fact, there's a place in the Bible that talks about how He will what? Pray in our place when we don't even know what to say. But God will lead us. It's called Holy Spirit praying, allowing Him to lead us in those things. We get so fearful of so many things. Pride destroys our prayer life. It was a place of prayer. But not only that, we find as we go into chapter 7, it was also a place of sacrifice. It was a place where they took their lambs. It was a place where they took even their finances. And they gave it unto the Lord. And so you and I today have the wonderful privilege to take this body and give it as a sacrifice unto God. It's really His to start with. Notice something in chapter 7, verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have what? Heard thy prayer. And have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Oh, this verse is familiar, isn't it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Can I suggest to you tonight, this place is not the temple in Jerusalem today. It's setting where you're at right now. He is attent unto the prayer that will be made in this place. Not only this place of the church, but in this place as individuals. God wants to hear from us. Amen. The temple of the Holy Spirit of God. What did they do? They dedicated it. What was it for? A place of prayer, a place of sacrifice. What is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is our body. it ought to be dedicated to God. By all means, it ought to be that which seeks after the Lord in prayer. And as we sacrifice it, of course, to Him, it's His. To do as He wishes, as He wants. Christianity is not about us giving a portion of our lives to the Lord. It's saying, God, You got all of me. You can have everything. I'm not withholding anything. I'm not withholding myself. I'm not withholding my family. I see God's people often not do because of family. I know a whole church that said, we're going to quit having Sunday night service so we can have family time. What greater family time than to be in the house of the Lord together? But oftentimes we allow all of these things to get in our way. Is He not worthy of all of us and of our giving of ourselves to Him? To join one another in prayer, to join one another in giving of ourselves to the Lord, He is worthy. Amen? He is worthy. He deserves that from us. The Lord Jesus, because they were not using as a temple or a house of prayer, overturned the money changers. Oftentimes, God's people are more concerned about their finances, and God has to overturn them so that they figure out it's really about Him. Amen. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, forgive us as we have failed to pray one with another as we ought. Fail to take advantage of those times that we have. So we get so self-consumed and so prideful that we even fear what others might think. Lord God, I pray that You would open our hearts to You and to one another, and that we might be truly those temples of prayer and sacrifice to You. That our dedication might be not just partway, not just an addition, but our whole self to You. Lord God, bless and work in our hearts and our lives. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.